People are bracing for aftershocks today following a 7.7 magnitude earthquake off the coasts of Jamaica, Cuba, and the Cayman Islands yesterday. The shaking could be felt in Florida. Earlier this month, a less powerful quake caused major damage in Puerto Rico, and the island is still experiencing aftershocks. Joining us now is Gavin Hayes. He is a seismologist at the U.S. Geological Survey. Hi, Gavin.
Hi.
And how would you describe what is happening along those faults that run beneath the Caribbean?
So what we're seeing in Puerto Rico and yesterday near the Cayman Islands is an expression of where the North America plate collides with the Caribbean plate. There's a long plate boundary north of Puerto Rico and directly through where yesterday's earthquake occurred. And over time, that plate boundary builds up stresses and we get earthquakes on faults aligned with those plate boundary structures.
So is the earthquake that we saw yesterday related to the one that struck Puerto Rico on January 7th?
They're related in that they're occurring close to the same plate boundary. The Puerto Rico earthquakes were not actually on the plate boundary itself, but were caused by the stresses related to those plate motions. But they are over 800 miles apart, so they are not directly related to one another in that the Puerto Rico earthquakes did not cause the earthquakes yesterday near the Cayman Islands.
Yesterday's earthquake, the magnitude was 7.7, very powerful. Are you surprised that there wasn't major damage or more injuries?
Fortunately, the earthquake started about 100 kilometers offshore of Cuba and Jamaica. And while it did break a fault about maybe 120 miles long towards the Cayman Islands, that fault motion was still offshore. And so the shaking felt on land was less than it would have been had the earthquake been closer to land.
Is that the difference in 2010, for example, when more than 300,000 people in Haiti died from an even less powerful quake?
That's spot on, yeah. The 2010 magnitude 7.1 earthquake in Haiti was right next to Port-au-Prince. And unfortunately, the less than ideal construction in that city caused the massive damage that we saw as a result of that earthquake.
So how does this area of the Earth compare seismically to others? Is it more active than a lot of other places on the globe?
The Caribbean is in general a little less active than other parts. The plates in the Caribbean are coming together at a rate of about 2 centimeters per year. So that's about a half of the rate that your fingernails grow. Compare that to, say, the San Andreas Fault in California that's moving at about the rate that your fingernails grow, or the subduction zone in South America, offshore Chile, where we've seen massive earthquakes in the past, that moves at a rate of about 7 centimeters a year, which is obviously a lot faster than this. So in places like Chile or Japan, you can get large earthquakes more frequently than we see them in the Caribbean.
There was a tsunami warning after yesterday's quake. It was later withdrawn, but generally speaking, how big is the tsunami risk in that area?
In this part of the Caribbean, specifically to the south of Cuba, the plate boundary results in horizontal motion. When we have horizontal motions, that generally doesn't cause the seafloor uplift that is required to generate a tsunami. Further to the east, near Puerto Rico and the Lesser Antilles, you do get the North America plate sinking beneath the Caribbean. So when you have large earthquakes in that part of the world, you can get the vertical motion of the seafloor that you need to generate a tsunami if the earthquake is big enough.
That's Gavin Hayes, a seismologist at the United States Geological Survey based in Colorado. Gavin, thanks for speaking with us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Peter.